I'm delighted to introduce to you one of my favorite people, Dr. Chad Thomas of the UAH Theater Department, and he's doing a wonderful play. We're going to talk about it. Dr. Chad, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I always love these opportunities to come and speak with you.
Absolutely. Well, your voice sounds so beautiful on the air that I really love editing the tape after we're done. That's really, really fun for me as well, and with all the other things as well, all the other interesting things that you bring, because y'all are doing some groundbreaking stuff at UAH Theater, always something new, something perhaps that people haven't heard of yet, something really interesting going on there. I've talked to Amy Guerin about some things and Karen Baker about some of the things, and y'all are just really cooking up something interesting every time I turn around. So this one is no exception. It's going to be R&J by Joe Calarco, based on the Shakespeare, of course, Romeo and Juliet. Now, my first question for you is, what is the main difference rolling out, beginning in the play? What do you notice right away that's different about this version of, if you can tell without telling too much, because I don't want it to be completely given away, just what would someone notice right away that is the main differences about the two versions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the most obvious thing when you walk into the theater, you're going to see that it doesn't look like Verona in the early modern period. It looks like a high school classroom in the 1950s.
Hmm.
Lots of wood, lots of chalkboards, wooden desks. So it's not, I think, what you would consider to be a natural setting for Romeo and Juliet.
Hmm. But very timely, I would say.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's one thing is sort of the setting. It is set in a parochial school. And our production is set in an all-girls parochial school. And so from the instant that it begins and four young women walk on in schoolgirl uniforms, looking very uniform and very much like each other, you may be asking yourself, am I really at Romeo and Juliet?
What is this? What's going on here?
Yeah. Where's Romeo? Where's Benvolio? Where's Mercutio? So it's a four-person, all-female version of Romeo and Juliet that begins, I'll say it this way, that begins in a parochial school.
Hmm. Amazing. Now, to me, other things that I find amazing about this production, I was reading an interview with the playwright, Joe Calarco. I don't know a lot about him, but the interview was fascinating in the many layers that are presented when you think about Shakespeare being done in this way, especially if you think of the theme of Romeo and Juliet, how the lovers are forbidden each other, the families are fighting, and that you can't associate with somebody from the other side. You can't do that. That's forbidden. So in this production, there are other forbidden elements that come to sort of, it's like meta forbidden. It's like it stacks up. It starts to get layered here. And Joe is thinking about it in of course, a whole different way, but adding to the theme of the original. And I think that's fascinating. I don't know if y'all are presenting that in this certain way or how it's done on stage where the play is taken up by the characters.
No, it absolutely is. I don't want to give too much away, but I think that
Right.
I think that it's safe to say this, that it is the act of reading the play, and this play is something that is forbidden. They have to discover it in the first, I would say, 3 minutes of the show, they discover it.
Mm-hmm.
The act of reading the play, of speaking the words aloud, it ends up transforming them into the characters in the play and transporting them from this setting where they're at to a variety of different spaces in Verona.
Hmm. That's so interesting how the playwright would communicate so many ideas here, and I think that any artist who sees this production will find that he's using, of course, the medium of Shakespeare, but doing it in a way where you do begin translating and you begin to transform. And of course, any experience of theater, if done well, is going to transform the audience in a way. And while you're working on it, it transforms the actors as well. But in the play, it just seems like that's written in, and that's like par for the course, and that you're going to, that he intends for this to happen in a very strong way. I think one could just say that this is a really strong reading of Shakespeare just overall. This play is going to leave a strong impact, and the whole thing about it is about, it's a real, that's just my first adjective that I would come to just on the little bit that I've read so far about this play. It's just a strong piece of theater. It's really strong. And the whole premise, I think Joe's original premise, is to do this play with four young men, and they are the ones who are reading Romeo and Juliet. Your presentation, however, is going to be strong in another way, and in that it is for four very strong young actresses that are doing these roles. How did you come to the decision to do it in this way?
That's a great question. So as you point out, when Colarco first produced this adaptation, all male Shakespeare was, and this was maybe 20 years ago, maybe 17 or 20 years ago that he first started doing it. Mm-hmm. All male Shakespeare had certainly had its cultural moment, but it had fallen out of favor, say in 1651, 1652, when actresses were allowed on the stage again. Mm. There was a point in the late 90s when all male Shakespeare started to happen and started to be done more often, and that continues through even to today. Theater companies like Propeller and Cheek by Jowl, they tour all the time with all male companies, and I am such a tremendous fan of all male Shakespeare. I think that it's really interesting. That said, all female Shakespeare remains almost entirely unexplored. Hmm. Rebecca Patterson has a company in New York City, the Queen's Company. Lisa Wolpe works with Los Angeles Women Shakespeare. Hmm. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
And so the opportunity to take this idea of what an all-male or all-female cast can offer, to take sort of the premise of what an all-male Shakespeare can offer, and then to flip it around by making it all-female instead, I actually think that it becomes even more sort of radical and subversive, and I think really interesting.
Absolutely. And to get the women involved with this piece almost speaks about, I don't want to get too political, but the Me Too movement is everywhere, and might as well just say it right now. It's letting them have their chance to interpret, which I think, you know, of course you're going to have productions with all guys, but here's one where the women get to speak, and I'm sure there will be differences. I kind of don't want to, in a way, I would sort of like to be open-minded enough to say that I wouldn't be looking for differences, for whether it was girls or boys doing it, that I would be, you know, open-minded enough to consider, you know, just the basic strengths of the actors or actresses. I guess we call them all actors now, in light of that. What I'm really trying to say here is that I don't want there to be a difference in a way. I want it to be easily done by either a group of boys or girls or however many you have of either gender. I want it to be gender free. But I know that there's going to come a point where you will see things that women will do on stage that men just won't do, or vice versa. And have you found this to be, has this been a sort of like a teaching moment for you, or anything? Has anything come up for you along these lines while you are working on this show?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In Colarco's original adaptation, for example, the fight scenes are more like choreographed dances. They're not done with swords or with hand-to-hand. I felt like for an all-female production, I understand the necessity of wanting to get away from that kind of violence for an all-male production as a way sort of challenging traditional gender roles.
Right.
So for our production, I mean, it is, again, I don't want to give too much away, but sword fights and hand-to-hand combat, and there's something very, very interesting about seeing two women going after each other with swords. It's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time, I think that you will find a point where you stop thinking to yourself, that is a girl who's playing Romeo. That is a girl who's playing Mercutio. That's a young woman who's playing the Friar Lawrence. And you will be able to appreciate the language and the meaning and the artistry of their individual performances.
Mm-hmm. So that's where the power of the actor comes in, regardless of gender, is to make you believe that that's who they're experiencing in their body at the moment and whose voice is coming out of them, and which character is actually speaking. And that is part of the transformative power of it. It just seems like there are so many twists and turns in this way of looking at it. It's like, it reminds me of that poem, 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird. There's you've turned your focus, and it's not just looking at the traditional, of course, Romeo and Juliet. You're looking at it in a quite different, from a quite different angle. And that's one of the things that's so exciting to me. I'm talking to Dr. Chad Thomas about UH Theater's presentation of R&J by Joe Colarco, and this is opening tonight at UAH. Dr. Chad, which theater is it going to be in tonight?
We're in the Wilson Theater.
Okay.
We run tonight through March 4th, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights at 7:30, and then the Sunday matinees are at 2:30.
Just fascinating that you guys are doing this, R&J, again. And you can find information about this on Facebook if you go to UAH Theater, and it's spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. There's some great photos of the cast and things going on here. The theater poster with the dates and everything are right here on the Facebook page. Dr. Chad, we have to get into some more music in just a bit, but are there any other points you might like to cover about this show? It's got so many layers and so much in the way that the playwright has sort of redeveloped this work that everyone is familiar with since high school. I remember reading Romeo and Juliet in high school, and I don't want you to give too much away, but is there anything else about this journey in theater that you've been making? And I'm sure it's been a very intense one that have come up for you, or any stories that the young women themselves might have that they've gathered along this trip that y'all have been taking.
Yeah, so this is, I think that I can honestly say that this will be Shakespeare unlike, well, it's Shakespeare that's unlike anything I've ever seen before. I've certainly have seen reduced cast Shakespeare, and I certainly have seen all female Shakespeare, and I have seen cross-gender cast Shakespeare. I've never seen a four-person, all-female version of a play before. So the artistry and the creativity and the distinction and the differentiation that my actors have between their characters is remarkable. And they are on stage essentially for the whole time, because they can't leave this classroom that they're in.
Right.
And so they become spectators at times. They have to transform characters just upon a snap.
Wow.
So I think it's really exciting theater.
Absolutely. I was just going to kind of throw this in as you were saying that. It made me think that since there are only four of them, and the traditional cast, of course, has more, that these young women are working overtime, memorizing lines and getting these parts and changing these characters, and This is going to be fascinating to see. This is absolutely, I almost want to call it experimental. And of course, it's groundbreaking and just a really super new, I just can't even tell you how new this is, of something so old and then such a new way to put it together. It sounds almost explosive, just really, really quite thrilling. I'm so excited that y'all are doing that. Well, I'm really happy to talk to you about it. I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. That's Dr. Chad Thomas of UAH Theater. He's directing R&J, and it starts tonight. You can find out more on Facebook at UAH Theater. Spell that T-H-E-A-T-R-E.